More on what torpedoed the Buccaneers against the Green Bay Packers on Sunday, and what we want to keep, what we want to toss from this past weekend's game. Let's go.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. And for those of you with a Roku and an Amazon Fire Stick, you can find us on the 10 Tampa Bay Plus app. So make sure you check us out over there. We thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I am James Yarko, rejoined by my co-host, Mr. David Harrison. You can check out all of his work over at Sports Illustrated's BucksGameDay.com. Check out mine at SBNation'sBucksNation.com. And of course, follow everything on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, and at DHarrison82.
Thanks again for making the Locked On Bucks podcast your first view or listen of the day. Super happy to be back on the show following the Buccaneers' first loss of the season. Yeah. Not super happy for that part, but I'm super happy back on the show. I love this show. I love everybody watching, listening, doing all of the things that they do for this show. James, I have my top story for the game because I've watched it. What, however, is your top story from the game? Just to recap real quick for those who may have missed yesterday's episode or just don't remember, so that I can then react to your top story before I give my top story.
Yeah, I mean, my top story was also a big theme in my pick six over at BucksNation.com, and that was the offensive ineptitude and the fact that the Buccaneers are one of two teams in the NFL without a first-half touchdown. Now, full disclosure, the Giants might score a first-half touchdown on Monday Night Football, but we are recording prior to kickoff, so if that were to happen, say, I don't know, Saquon Barkley breaks off a 70-yard touchdown run, that would leave the Buccaneers as the only team in the National Football League without a first-half touchdown this year. They got to fix it. Something has to be done. They've got to fix this.
If Saquon Barkley breaks off a 70-yard touchdown run in the first quarter against the Dallas Cowboys in Monday Night Football, James, you will from now on be called Nostra Jameis, which will then be shortened to Jameis.
No,
which will be a lot of fun for me and our listeners and our viewers, as you just confirmed it.
No, you can just call me Nas.
No, you're not there. Listen, that's a very good takeaway. It was a very startling stat that I was not aware of. So I was very impressed when you pulled that number out of thin air. Not a place you want to be. Don't want to be compared to the New York Giants. Granted, the New York Giants by this time could also be undefeated, which would be something interesting to happen. But, you know, look, it is what it is. It's startling to me to think that an offense featuring Tom Brady and Scotty Miller could be could have this many struggles scoring in the first quarter, but it is what it is right now. Next week, obviously, is another opportunity to get things right in Raymond James Stadium or not. We're going to talk about that more here in a little while, but James, that's a good top story. My top story from this game, I will admit, did not cause a loss. I'm going to say that up front, did not cause a loss, but it was upsetting. It was surprising for me to see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense come out and start this game with very bad tackling. I wrote it down here. Packers first drive, Nacho, Mike Edwards, Devin White, Carlton Davis, all bad tackling or missed tackles at some point in time during that drive that obviously led to an early touchdown. By the way, Romeo Doubs, one of my favorite guys coming out of Mobile. Absolutely love to see that kid balling out. Just wish it wasn't happening in Raymond James Stadium. Packers second drive, William Golston was guilty. Pat O'Connor was guilty on a couple of plays, especially that second and 10. There was a second and 10 play. Golston and Patrick O'Connor could have stopped that play. Basically dead to rights, poor tackling. Let the running back, I believe that one was Aaron Jones, get out. And then you had bad coverage by Devin White on third down. So second and 10 should have turned into third and 10. Instead, it turned into like third and six, if I remember correctly. And then Devin White sunk in on the running back, got sucked into the line of scrimmage instead of staying disciplined in his pass coverage. Ends up getting beat on the pass play by the third string Green Bay Packers tight end, which is awesome. You know, and look, he wasn't covering the tight end, but if Devin is disciplined in his coverage assignment to the running back, then he's in position to make the play on the tight end. That play stops right then and there. Instead, the Green Bay Packers take a 14-0 lead. James, what was the final score?
14-12.
Now, again, those are the only points the defense gave up. So don't get it twisted. I'm not saying the defense lost this game. They didn't give up a single point for the rest of the game. Almost did, right? Almost did on the fourth drive of the game for the Packers. No, Packers' third drive, rather. But shout out to Levante David and Vita Vea, not Nacho, Mr. Announcer Man on Fox NFL. Not Nacho, but it was Vita Vea knocking that ball out. So, you know, it is what it is, but it's a bad start for the defense. They eventually kind of get it going. But then you have the opposite end, right? The antithesis of complimentary football, which is missed opportunities. And specifically, I'm looking at what did cause the Buccaneers this game, as far as I'm concerned. And that is not one, but two fumbles. The first one from Breshad Perriman, who I love. Talked to him after the win in New Orleans. Love talking to him. Love seeing him ball out. But look, guy. You fumbled the ball on the 40-yard line, the Green Bay Packers 40-yard line on a drive where the Buccaneers are moving the ball. And, you know, you can kind of look at that and say that's a momentum shifter. It's a momentum drive. If the Buccaneers get into range, even if you only get a field goal, you're moving the ball, you're confident in what you're doing, or you get in the end zone, and now the game shifts in a completely different way. And then, of course, Russell Gage, who I love the production that we saw. I love the higher usage that we saw. James, you talked about that on the live that you put down right after the game. But that fumble near midfield, not in Packers territory, but still near midfield, the ball is moving. The Buccaneers offense is doing some things. Look, I came away from watching that game. The Buccaneers should have won that game, period. The Buccaneers played better than the Green Bay Packers. Like, the Green Bay Packers may have beaten the Buccaneers, but Aaron Rodgers didn't beat Tom Brady. All right, first of all, I hate the fact, I'm not even going to put this out, but there is a national news show that is very popular that has a morning show. It's usually a good morning show about football, but this one Monday morning, it was trash. It was literally trash. They came in and again, I'm not naming the show by name, this usually good morning football show, but they came in and said, we all expected Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady. We all expected this offensive display from the two greatest quarterbacks ever played the game. Who's we all? First of all, Locked On Bucks didn't, Locked On Packers didn't, Locked On NFL didn't, Peacock and Williamson didn't. So who's we all? Not us. We all expected a defensive knockout, drag out fight. But then they go, we all expected this Rodgers versus Brady. That's all we got. We got the defense versus the defense. And it was a great game. Now, let's look at all this Rodgers versus Brady stuff that we pre-planned, because that's what we thought was going to happen, but didn't happen. We're going to air it anyway because we're lazy. That's basically what happened. Again, not calling out by name, not going to do that to him. Usually a good morning football show. But I was disappointed by the national narrative almost as much as I was disappointed in guys like Breshad Perriman, Russell Gage, who I can't say Russell Gage typically comes through for the Bucs as he's still new to the team. But Breshad, man, he's pulled through, and he's a guy that kind of has that underdog narrative to him. And then early on, the bad tackling, some of the coverage issues specifically from Devin. I just felt like Devin was trying to do too much at times. And honestly, it continued throughout the game. It just didn't really bite the Buccaneers as bad as it did early on. But those are kind of some of my main observations from this game, James.
It's a lot to unpack right there. I do truly believe, I was talking to my dad about it earlier on Monday, and I said, you know, look, the Buccaneers are better than the Packers. They were with their third string left tackle. You have your backup center. You have a rookie guard. You're out your top three pass catchers. And I flat out said, if the Bucs have Mike Evans, they win this game. Especially after Jaire Alexander goes out. And, you know, you take a look at all of the pieces they're missing, all of the struggles early on because the offense is missing all these pieces, and the Bucs still only lost by two. Like, yeah. The Bucs are the better football team. I just hope that this game doesn't turn around and bite them come January if they have to take that trip up to Lambeau. But,
you know, honestly, though, James, Tom Brady, we talked about this during the offseason. If Tom Brady and the Buccaneers have to play wild card weekend, he could become the winningest quarterback in NFL history against the NFC. If he wins wild card divisional NFC championship game, he surpasses Brett Favre for the most wins by a quarterback versus NFC playoff teams in his third year in the NFC. So I'm actually on board with this team playing wild card weekend. So I know a lot of people are looking at, like, hopefully it doesn't cost them a bye. I'm actually kind of okay with it. I'd like to celebrate that record.
Can they just not go to Lambeau? That's all I ask.
Oh, the Packers are not a one-loss team. You don't got to worry about.
No, they're absolutely not. They're not even going to win their division. So I'm not going to stress it too much. But
actually might be the third best team in their division, to be quite honest with you.
They're better than the Lions.
I don't know about that.
They're better than the
Lions. We'll find out.
Jared Gerf. Anyway, let's go ahead and get over to the voicemail line. We do have some Bucks fans that want to weigh in on this loss. So let's hear from the first one right now.
Hello, gentlemen. This is Earl calling from North Tampa. Just seeing the last seconds go off the game. And I have to say is, one, I give it to the defense. They didn't look good at first, but the second half adjustments, Todd Bowles did good and everything. As far as the offense, Tom Brady, a little bit off. Is just too many injuries. Russell Gage getting paid too much money for what he getting paid. Pyramid, you got receivers out there that shouldn't be out there, but you can't do much because of injuries. And what really set the team back for Leftwich with that play call and trying to do that free flicker, that was a bad play call. Then how in the world do you do a delayed game on the two-point conversion? You didn't get the play in time. I'm sorry. It was a close game, good defense. The Bucks, I give it to the point. The Bucks defense showed they are really legit. They really showed they are really legit. So, but on to the next game, they play Kansas City. I just want to say, everybody out there, keep Tampa and Florida in our prayers as we deal with this hurricane coming forward. As usual, go Bucks.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. It can be tough to train your brain to stay in problem-solving mode when faced with a challenge in life. But when you learn how to find your own solutions, there's no better feeling. A therapist can help you become a better problem solver, making it easier to accomplish your goals, no matter how big or small. I have talked on this show before about when I was 15 years old facing a back surgery that could paralyze or kill me, and I needed someone to talk to that wasn't just my mom or just my dad, who were, you know, loving and supporting and always telling me, you know, don't worry, nothing can go wrong. Well, what if something does? I needed that outlet, and therapy really helped me through that process. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, accessible, affordable, and entirely online. Get matched with a therapist after filling out a brief survey and switch therapists at any time. When you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/lockedon today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/lockedon.
Thanks again for making the Locked On Bucks podcast first listen or your first view every single day. Before we dive into our Keep It and Toss It segment, James, let's hear from another Buccaneers fan.
What's up, guys? It's Austin from Flat Rock, Alabama. Just my quick thoughts about the game. Offense seemed shaky at best. Defense did all they could. Just the turnovers and stuff. It just didn't help us out. And I think it's time to cut Scotty. I think so. Anyway, it was a hard fought game. The defense did all they could, but the offense just needs to execute better inside the red zone and just quit kicking themselves. All right, man. Well, guys, have a good evening and go Bucks.
All right. Appreciate the phone call. And James, what I appreciate even more is the first two callers essentially agreeing with me. Defense started slow, kicking ourselves or shooting ourselves in the foot. Pretty much what I said. And so that's always good. I like when people agree with me. So
yeah, it's pretty awesome that they also agree with what I said on the live show.
That's true. Let's move into our brand new segment, which we're going to unveil on, I don't know, pretty much every week, I think, right? We can do this every week. Keep It and Toss It, which is kind of like Bop It to me. I don't know. It's like keep it, toss it, twist it, rock it. I don't know. Anyway. So first, I'll go first for keep it. So things that we want to keep from this weekend, James, I'm looking at takeaways, two of them specifically. I really loved the goal line fumble, right? Forced by, I don't remember, did Vita, do they do like half, they don't do half force fumbles, right? So like Vita got complete credit for that force fumble, I believe. But Levante and Vita You have something to say?
I was about to say, no, they do not.
Yeah, they do not. So Vita, I believe, right, is the one who got the credit for that fumble. But Levante, obviously a part of that play as well. So you'd love to see that, especially down there at the goal line. Just that defense, just never quit, never stop fighting, get that. And then, of course, the Logan Ryan interception was a very – those are like my favorite types of interceptions, when a guy almost kind of like dupes a quarterback into throwing the ball exactly where I want you to throw the football. And look, the Buccaneers right now tied for first in the NFL with fumble recoveries, third in the NFL in interceptions, and tied for first in total takeaways. It is a completely 180 from the other team that I cover. So I want to continue to see this, because I need to see takeaways somewhere, James. So I need to see the Buccaneers continue the takeaway habit through the rest of the season.
You mean you don't see takeaways by whatever defense is facing Carson Wentz?
I do see that, actually.
Yes. I mean, those are still takeaways.
Talk about takeaways from the defense I cover in Washington, okay. James.
Did you say Washington?
I did.
No.
I don't say that, but I did say that.
Okay. Yeah, the defense continues to be fantastic. And yeah, as I had talked about on yesterday's show, as you kind of talked about in segment one, you know, they were on the cusp of giving up three touchdowns in three drives, right, to open this game. And I think a 21-3 lead would have ended it right then and there before halftime. Vita Vea is able to, you know, energize the defense with a key forced fumble, and it kind of got things on track. I'm still frustrated that Jamel Dean's interception didn't count. Otherwise, Aaron Rodgers would still have more interceptions than touchdowns when facing the Buccaneers. Oh, well. My keep it is something I harped on it all last week. I talked about it on the Blitz over on 10 Tampa Bay. I talked about it on my reaction live stream after the game on Sunday. Keep this utilization of Russell Gage. This was fantastic. Even after the fumble, David, that you talked about, Brady kept going back to him. He caught 12 of 13 targets, ended up with a touchdown. I would like to see a little bit more down the field to Russell Gage, but given the situation against the Green Bay Packers and the fact that they have three of the top six pass rushers in terms of pressures in the National Football League, Brady had to get the ball out quick. That's fine. I understand it. But they were getting Gage the ball in space. They were allowing him to run with it a little bit. Lots of targets off of play action. He was the go-to guy. Mike Evans is going to come back next week. Maybe Julio Jones comes back next week. Maybe Chris Godwin comes back. Don't forget about Russell Gage. Our caller Earl talked about how Russell Gage is getting way too much money for what he does. There's only so much he can do when he's not getting the ball. So good things happen when Russell Gage gets the ball. I want to continue to see this type of utilization, expand on it, you know, work with it a little bit. I want to see more downfield targets, but I was very encouraged with what I saw against Green Bay.
Yeah, very happy to see Russell Gage getting more involved. I don't want to, you know, place meaning, but I hope that Earl is talking about the Bucs are paying him too much to not use him versus he's like stealing money from the Buccaneers. I put that more on the scheme than I put it on Russell Gage right now. But look, also don't forget, I mean, the Buccaneers still have Scotty Miller, one of the best receivers on this team, obviously. So James, move to our toss it, and I'll toss it over to you for the first toss it from this weekend.
And I will toss Scotty Miller to the moon. I love Scotty. I do. But you want to talk about stealing money from the Buccaneers? That's what he's doing. We talked about it. We speculated on it that Scotty's spot on this roster had more to do with his connection with Tom Brady than it did his outperforming of anybody else in training camp.
Right.
And obviously that chemistry, that connection is no longer there, because dude couldn't catch a cold on the Titanic after it hit the iceberg with the way that he's playing right now. It's not good. And I understand he almost made an absolutely outstanding catch against the Packers. I talked about it on the live show. that he barely didn't get that toe in, and he had to deal with a little bit of pass interference or defensive holding, depending on your view on it, on that same play. But that doesn't help the Buccaneers. That doesn't show up on the stat sheet. That doesn't move the chains. None of that. Tyler Johnson should have been on this football team, and Scotty Miller is not helping. Cole Beasley has helped more in one game than Scotty Miller has this season. I say that somewhat facetiously, but there's no use for him anymore, and I'm over it. You don't need to keep trotting him out on the field.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think at this point, I think Scotty Miller is your sixth receiver when everybody's healthy, and that's a very, very sad place for Scotty to be. So, Scotty Miller, your toss it. My toss it is going to be another offensive player, and that's Leonard Fournette. Let's just toss Leonard Fournette. I'm just kidding. Leonard Fournette's doing great. By the way, Leonard Fournette's last carry against Green Bay Packers, his 1,000th carry of his NFL career. So congratulations to Leonard Fournette for 1,000 carries in his career. Not the first to do it, not even the 200th person to do it. But I think it's impressive, right? But listen, this is not shade to Leonard Fournette. I love Leonard Fournette. I love what he's doing for this team. I love what he's producing for this team. He is getting overworked way too much right now. And the Buccaneers have got to figure out another way to move the ball, another way to secure the ball. Rashad White, look, I love the kid. Training camp, preseason, Rashad White, we haven't seen him in the regular season. Just bottom line, like when he's been on the field, he just hasn't made the most out of those opportunities and given the Buccaneers a reason to keep him on the field. But we got to find something here, guys, because right now, Leonard Fournette is on pace to play 929 snaps this season alone. He has never played more than 904. That's only a 25 snap difference, right? Okay, I got it. It's not even a full game's difference, but the second most snaps that Leonard has played in his career is 623. So when you talk about 929 not being that much more than his career high, which, by the way, came in 2019, it's a lot more snaps than he's played in most other seasons. At this rate, he will surpass his 2021 total of snaps, which is the most he's had as a Buccaneer, in 11 and a half, less than 11 and a half games. Before halftime of week 12, he will surpass the most snaps he's played in a single season for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And why is this so important? Not because just of this team. Leonard Fournette has never played every game in a single season. He's every single season he has had an injury that has cost him games, because it's not just about snaps. It's about the touches. Fournette right now is on pace for 374 touches. He's never had more than 341. That's a little bit bigger difference, right? You're talking 33 touches. We're going from 25 snaps. We're talking 33 touches. That's more than a game. That's about a game and a half's worth of touches, more than he's ever had in his career that he's on pace for. A guy who's never played an entire season healthy. His second highest season, 304 carries or touches. His rookie season, most as a Buck, 249. He is on pace to have over 120 or about 120 more touches than he's ever had as a Buccaneer. And same thing on this pace right now, he'll pass his 2021 touch total, which is his most as a Buccaneer, before halftime of not week 12, but the 12th game of the season. He's on pace right now to match his career high in touches in week 16. A full game will be left before week 17. I'm sorry. A full game will be left with Leonard Fournette already surpassing his career high in touches. And again, he's never played more than 15 games in a season. That's not a dig on him. That's just the facts. And James, why do running backs have such short shelf lives?
Because they get run into the ground.
Leonard Fournette, the numbers only get bigger, is on pace to have 323 carries. So we go from 25 snaps to 30 something touches. We're talking 60 carries difference from his career high. 60 carries, James. That is his pace. His career high carries 268. He is on pace for 323. That's almost 60 more rushes. That's slamming into defensive linemen, linebackers, safeties. All right, second highest, 265. He is on pace right now to surpass his career high in rushes. A running back that has never played more than 15 games because of injuries is on pace to surpass his career high in carries, before halftime of week 15.
That's too much.
It's way too much.
And one thing that I didn't notice that you had in here, Bucks fans will have you know that 313 of that 323 carry pace are first down rushes, and they shouldn't do those ever again, ever. So pretty much only like 10 more carries for Leonard Fournette for the rest of the year, because the Bucks should throw on first down 100% of the time, every time, even though they're lining up with Scotty Miller and Jalen Darden at wide receiver, but don't run the ball ever.
I will tell you, there is one team I cover that the fan base is complaining about the team running too much on first down. The other team I cover, their fan base complaining about the team not running enough on first down. One of those teams is 1-2. One of those teams is 2-1. Just saying.
All right. Well, we will be talking about something a little bit more serious coming up here in just a moment. Wrap things up here on the Locked On Bucks podcast. David, before we get in to a little bit more serious news, let's hear one more time from one of our listeners that called into the voicemail line.
Hey guys, JT from Texas. Got a few concerns about the game yesterday. Scotty Miller. I'm about tired of him. About ready to cut him. I like the guy. I know Brady likes him. He drops too many balls. One catch out of every ball thrown to him this year. He falls down all the time. He can't even catch a handoff. And the clock management at the end of the game. How do you let that happen? I don't understand it. Let me get y'all guys' thoughts on it. Go Bucks. Get them next week.
All right, JC, thank you very much for the call. But David, we need to talk about Hurricane Ian, because obviously, and of course, thoughts, prayers, hoping for all of our listeners that are in the path for your safety, come through this unscathed. But we do have to talk about the football aspect. The Buccaneers have released a statement saying, quote, in preparation for the potential impact of Hurricane Ian, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will depart Tampa on Tuesday and temporarily relocate the team's football operations to Miami-Dade County, Florida. The Buccaneers are expected to practice at the Miami Dolphins Baptist Health Training Complex in Miami Gardens, Florida, starting on Wednesday through the end of week 4 preparations, if necessary. As of Monday afternoon, there's been no change to Tampa Bay's game against the Kansas City Chiefs, scheduled for Sunday at 8:20 p.m. Eastern Time at Raymond James Stadium. The NFL, in consultation with team and local officials, will continually monitor the situation. So, yeah, you are taking a look at, and you know, luckily for the Bucks, Miami is an option because they are in Cincinnati, preparing for Thursday night football, Tua versus Burrow. We're finally gonna see the all white Bengals uniforms, which are gonna be fantastic. But David, you did some deep diving there on Hurricane Ian and kind of what's going on over there. So your thoughts on how this could affect the Buccaneers and the preparations that they are already starting to make.
Yeah, so look, I'm not a meteorologist. I'm not a hurricane expert by any shape, you know, or form. So all of this is via 10 Tampa Bay, you know, our partners over at WTSP. So shout out to them for doing all the heavy lifting here. But and like James said, this, you know, this is much bigger than football. So for those maybe in the area, you know, look, if you're not taking it seriously, right, the National Hurricane Center says it looks significant impacts are anticipated. Major storm surge, damaging winds, and flooding. Rainfall, life-threatening storm surge of 5 to 10 feet is possible along the west coast of Florida, with the highest risk from Fort Myers to the Tampa Bay region. People living along and near the coast are urged to evacuate to safety. That, again, is from the National Hurricane Center via WTSP 10 Tampa Bay. So that's about the extent of our weather knowledge, is literally reading the weather experts to you. But that's how much I want to urge all you guys. Look, if you're in the area, guys, just please be smart, be safe. I know Caleb Skinner, BucksGameDay.com, is leaving on Tuesday. He's getting he and his girlfriend out of the area. I was supposed to be flying down to Tampa this weekend to cover this game. I have since switched my travel plans to Dallas. I'll be covering the Commanders Cowboys game instead, again, out of an abundance of caution and because of safety. But yeah, from the football angle, I don't see how this game gets played in Miami. I get the practicing and all that stuff, but I think Thursday or Friday, you're probably looking at Tampa Bay leaving, or the Buccaneers leaving Miami and moving somewhere else. To me, the closest, most regionally relevant area is Bryant-Denny Stadium, University of Alabama Stadium in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. The Crimson Tide do play this weekend, but they're on the road. I can't remember who they're playing. It's whoever they're going to beat this weekend, but they're doing it at their home stadium, not Alabama's home stadium. So no game will be played Saturday there. So the Buccaneers and Chiefs could potentially move in and play that game in front of probably a lot of Crimson Tide fans, to be quite honest with you. I don't know which roster has more Alabama players, probably Kansas City, but that's an option. The Storm, from the current projection of path, you know, it's going up through Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, the East Coast, as far as it lasts, stuff like that. So like Atlanta's not an option. You know, Jacksonville is not an option, I don't think. So all of those things, Miami potentially, but again, I don't think you want Kansas City flying through the path of the Storm to get to Miami. So that, James, to me, Tuscaloosa seems like an option. Maybe like Ole Miss Stadium in Mississippi is another one. Unfortunately, there's another option, James. That's Arrowhead Stadium. Because away teams, NFL teams, even when they're away, are required to leave their stadiums open and available for emergencies. And, oh, by the way, the Kansas City Royals do not play Sunday night. And for those who don't know, the Royal Stadium and the Chiefs Stadium, side-by-side, next-door neighbors. So the fact that there's no baseball game Sunday night, the fact that Arrowhead Stadium is required to be open, you hate to see it, you hate to say it, but this could become a Chiefs home game.
Yeah, I definitely don't want that to happen. And I apologize. I'm having to do some quick maths. So, David, let's say, just for the sake of argument, you're right, and they play in the Alabama Crimson Tide home stadium. The Buccaneers just set an attendance record at Raymond James Stadium on Sunday.
I like where you're going with this.
With 69,197 attendees.
Rob Gronkowski is very happy about that.
Nice. Do you know how many more people could attend the Bucs Chiefs if they were to play at Alabama's stadium?
I don't. So I'm going to go with 30,000.
You are so close.
Am I? Nice.
32,600.
Mike Edwards, 1,000. That's what you said. Mike Edwards, 1,000.
Bryant-Denny Stadium has a capacity of 101,821 people. Imagine if they just gave the extra tickets to Crimson Tide season ticket holders. Do you have any idea how many Julio Alabama jerseys we would see?
That's a really good point.
Bro.
Imagine this, though. Imagine going to college, playing football for Alabama, getting drafted and being like, huh, never played in a stadium this small.
Right. I thought they said NFL stadiums were noisy. This is nothing. You guys ever been to Bama? Oh, goodness. But yeah, definitely something we're going to continue to monitor. We're going to continue to keep our eye on. We will discuss any developments or any changes throughout the week as necessary. As far as tomorrow's episode, I don't know if I'm going to have Evan Klosky with me or not. He said he's going to let me know. I told him, if you can't make it, don't worry about it. Just stay safe. You know, he's
right, Evan Klosky joining from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Why not? Right. Let's make this happen.
Yeah. So all of you out there, be cautious, stay safe, all of those things. We want to continue to hear from all of you and don't want to hear about anything bad happening to you guys or your family or anything like that. So with all of that in mind, we thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. Shout out to our callers, Earl, Austin, and JC. We do have some more voicemails in the inbox. And if I don't have Evan Klosky, I need your help. So make sure you're giving us a call at 813-444-5841 if you would like to follow up with any thoughts, questions, or ideas regarding the Bucks' loss to the Packers or looking ahead to the Kansas City Chiefs. We thank you for making us your first listen or view every day. Now make your second listen to the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson give you the expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes. It is free and available wherever you get your podcast. Check out David's work over at BucksGameDay.com. Check out mine over at BucksNation.com. And of course, follow everything on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JRCo_Bucks, and at DHarrison82. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Fire those cannons. And we thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.